This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Guess who's back, 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 back again. Sadie's back, back, back. Tell a friend, friend, friend. Guess who's back, 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 guess who's back.
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio as we get ready for the NFL draft tonight. Let me remind you, though, that tomorrow there's a chance to save a life with the American Red Cross blood drive going on at Cruz Subaru tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. You could save a life by giving blood. And all donors receive a complimentary certificate for $35, good for auto service, parts, or accessories at Cruz Subaru. Walk-ins are welcome, but they prefer appointments, so register today at redcrossblood.org and use the sponsor code CRUISE. Sponsor code CRUISE. Make your appointment today for the blood drive tomorrow at Cruz Subaru, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. to have a chance to help save a life and get a $35 gift certificate as well from Cruz Subaru. Tomorrow in North Charleston, 11 a.m., 4 p.m. at Cruz Subaru, the latest American Red Cross blood drive. The NFL draft begins tonight. We'll continue to break it down throughout the afternoon. But each year in the draft, we have one of my favorites, Dave Bartu, on the show, who has always done a great job. It may take a little time. You have to look back, see how things play out. But Dave usually nails it when predicting how these guys will do at the next level. And he's joining us now, Dave Bartu, who's on Twitter at CFB Matrix. Go over there, and you can see a lot of interesting data he's been putting out about the draft. He's with us now. Dave, good afternoon. How are you?
Dude, I am doing good. I'm excited for the draft tonight. The last couple weeks is the first time I've ever really done a deep dive into draft performance numbers by team. So I got the last 10 years of all 32 teams in front of me now, and it's a full nerd alert in the Matrix manner today.
Well, I love that stuff. Before we get to the quarterbacks, let me just put you on the spot and asking, I'm sure we could spend all afternoon talking about this data, but what stood out to you the most when you started crunching these numbers and you look at the drafts of the last 10 years?
Okay, a bunch of things. But one of the first things that really got me into this was who's making all the starts in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
where it comes from, right? So none of us are surprised that that 26% of all the NFL starts come from first-round picks over the last 10 years. Okay, so not a small sample size. So 26% of all your starters, first round. That's number one. Number two is second round. 19% of all the starts come from your second rounders. Awesome. Then your third biggest group, here's where the surprise. This is what kicked it in. Who is the third biggest group?
Who? You tell
undrafted
me.
Free agents. Mm. Undrafted free agents.
Wow.
There are more starts in the NFL in the last 10 years from undrafted free agents than all the third-round picks combined. Now, I know probably some people listen and go, hey, man, that group is a lot bigger. But guess what? People got to find these, right? You still have to find the undrafted free agents. You still have to bring them in. You still have to evaluate them, you know. And they're a lot less expensive. So the value there, when you're getting a start, is a lot more. So, you know, I mean, that's what got me really going into this. And then it took me into all sorts of different ways in terms of breaking down the first round, second round, third round. And I started breaking it down by the unit, you know,
mm-hmm.
and how many starts are you getting out of something. You know, the first round, everybody says it's the highest value. It is. But your average first round lineman starts 110 games. Your average wide receiver starts 77. So it's not just the value of the first round, it's the value of the position. And then you got to look at how good is the team at drafting. And then we can look at, you know, how good they are at drafting. So it takes a whole new direction in terms of telling a story. I could tell a story about every draft pick tonight just based on the team, the round, and their unit, their position that they're getting drafted.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff. And you can find a lot of the information on Twitter. Just head over to CFB Matrix to see a lot of the stuff that Dave's been putting out here over the past week or two. I want to talk to you about the quarterbacks because you always do a great job of laying out how these quarterbacks should be ordered in the draft. So let's run through a couple of these guys and get your thoughts on what you see for them at the next level. And starting with Kenny Pickett, who most people believe is the number one quarterback in this class and maybe the most ready-made for the NFL, how would you assess Kenny Pickett here at the next level?
Okay, so we're gonna do our annual. This is how we make all the listeners super smart at the draft.
That's right? Yeah, absolutely.
With quarterbacks. Now, I will go on record. I said this last year on your show at this time. This draft class is winning more NFL games than last year's. Said that a year ago, and I believe it now. Okay. Now, here is the profile of almost all your good starting NFL quarterbacks, okay? Did they play a ton of games in college? At least 24, okay? Did they get to their senior year? Seniors are great. Juniors with three-plus years of starting are also really solid, but I love seniors more than anything. I love guys from non-elite teams. Give me the guys that aren't surrounded with elite talent that actually have to carry the team. And that's the final thing. Did they carry their team? Was their team better than expected? Did the team perform above average because they carried them on Saturday? Because you can't carry a team on Saturday, you certainly as hell ain't doing it on Sunday.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So now let's apply that to Kenny Pickett. We can do this with all these guys, right? Kenny Pickett, senior, right? Did he start a ton of games? Absolutely started a ton of games. Is he from an elite school, Pittsburgh? No, absolutely not. And where was Pittsburgh this year? I think they're, 11-2, top 10?
Yeah.
Top 15? Not where they're supposed to be. So that Kenny Pickett profile right there, watching no film. I don't care about the numbers. I don't care about the accuracy. I don't care about the arm. I don't care that his hand is less than 6 inches wide or whatever the hell it is. All right? I really like Kenny Pickett as a risk in the NFL to be a productive starter.
Interesting. Yeah, and a lot of people think he may be the first off the board tonight. The other big name we hear when it comes to first-round quarterbacks or quarterbacks that could go in the top 20 is Malik Willis, who's believed to be a little bit more of a project. When you look at Malik Willis and his profile, what do you see?
Right? Same kind of thing.
Yeah.
We got a senior. We started a ton of games. Now, Liberty this past year really didn't carry him like he did the year before, okay? Now, the downside with Malik in that he might be a little overvalued is that look at his play caller, okay? Play caller is really good, all right? So you got a great offensive coordinator, and sometimes we fall into this trap of quarterbacks get drafted off of elite teams because of their big numbers and their big measurables, but they also have really good coordinators. You know, I point to the Justin Herbert example when I said that was the best quarterback coming out that year. You had a senior. You had a guy who carried his team above expectations. Now, one of the things that you didn't see is that Arroyo, his offensive coordinator, is garbage, okay? He was garbage before Oregon. He was garbage after Oregon. But while he was at Oregon, he looked like an all-star. Why? Because of the quarterback. In this situation, is the quarterback look a little bit more like an all-star because of the play calling? So I would put Malik below Pickett because of that, but you're still looking at a guy, small school, elevated the program, and learned the craft for a long time at Liberty. I really think this is probably more of a better second-round, third-round value. But again, it's quarterbacks, and so you got to take them because without one, you're – franchise is pretty much nothing.
Right, exactly. Let me ask you about a couple of these other guys because I love your breakdowns.
Yeah.
Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati, of course. You know, some may be concerned that even though Cincinnati was in the playoff, it wasn't a Power 5 program he's coming from. What's the profile say for Desmond Ridder?
Well, you can't argue him elevating the team over the last 2 years, right? I mean, I think they're, 24-2?
Yeah.
You know, so he's carried the team, small team. How about the offensive coordinator, Dembrook? Before Cincinnati, not very good. After Cincinnati, LSU's going to find out really quick if he's any good. I don't think he is. I think he's average offensive coordinator. That's why I like Ridder better than Willis.
Mm.
He carried the team. He had to carry the team every Saturday. Got a zillion starts, and he carried his offensive coordinator. I think he's going to go – I think we'd probably guess he's going to go second round. And just to let everybody know – quarterbacks picked in the second round the last 10 years, average more starts over the last 10 years than first-round quarterbacks. There's a lot of value in the second round when people go, oh, he doesn't quite have the measurables. Man, I don't really care about that. I care about performance on the field, carrying the team, and Ritter did that for several years at Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's interesting. Talking with Dave Bartu about the quarterbacks that will be drafted here over this weekend in the draft. Sam Howell from UNC, somebody who in recent weeks seems to be creeping up. People are talking maybe he'll sneak into the first round. What do you see for Sam Howell?
Man, you know, by my little breakdown, super high on Howell last year. Mm. Not 2021, 2020, because he carried North Carolina. This last year, North Carolina just went in the tank. Now, offensively, they were still really good. Defensively, they fell apart. And they have one of the worst head coach grades in college football in Mac Brown. So that might be part of it. I think Howell still has a lot of value and upside because smaller, you know, not an elite team, carried the team. Even though their record wasn't great last year, he still had to carry the team. Downside to him, his offensive coordinator is Phil Longo. And everywhere Phil goes, they put up a gazillion yards. So I'm not really sold on Howell being that guy because the coordinator he had is so dang good. So to me, Howell, with not having a good year last year team-wise and his offensive coordinator, I would put him behind Willis in terms of value. You know, to me, this would be a third or fourth round kind of value pick, but I still like the upward potential that he has because of all those other variables I just talked about.
Right, right. Interesting. And the last guy that I want to ask about specifically, Matt Corral from Ole Miss, who obviously put up huge numbers with Lane, got injured in that bowl game. I know some teams, or reports at least, were that he wasn't a great interview in the room. But when you look at Matt Corral, what do you see for him here potentially at the next level?
Did he start a zillion games? Yeah, right? I mean, and he started in the toughest conference in football. So, you know, from an experience standpoint, I'm not going to argue that. You know, was he at an elite team? Heck no. He had to carry that team every time he was out there on the field, probably even more than it seems. Now, downside, Lane's a dang good play caller, man. I mean, we're talking top five, you know, careers in active OCs right now. So, you know, Corral, was it a byproduct a little bit of Lane? Probably, but when you look at the veteran experience he got there, the amount of competition he had, I really like Corral. I said it last year, too. I thought Corral would win more football games than Mac Jones. Mac Jones just happened to go to the best head coach in the NFL. But I really like the upside of Corral as well.
Are there any other, you know, there's Carson Strong seems intriguing, maybe. Maybe the guy from Western Kentucky, Bailey Zappe. Are there any other quarterbacks that stand out to you when you look at this draft class?
Well, I mean, look at those guys. Like Zappe comes in, right? Immediately elevates the team, carries the team. But it was for a year, but he's still a senior. He's been playing quarterback for a long time. So I still say that is whoever drafts him, that is a good value risk wherever he falls. Carson Strong, I think people like him just because the size, the arm, the this, that. But did Nevada do anything? I mean, did he really elevate Nevada? You know, the guy who elevated Nevada was Colin Kaepernick. That guy was awesome. I mean, he took Nevada from nothing to double-digit wins. And I just, you know, so Strong, he's got some of the numbers, but his quarterback effect at Nevada was not impactful. So I don't think he's going to be impactful at the NFL level either.
Talking with Dave Bartu about the draft. Now, of course, you always zero in on these quarterbacks. We talk about it every year. I don't know if you look at some of the other positions the same, but as we look ahead to the draft, I'll just ask you before we let you go, anything else stand out about tonight's draft group if you look away from the quarterbacks?
Let me give you some nuggets real quick.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. We're going to go full nerd here. So first round, all right? If you need a running back, everybody always says don't take the running back in the first round, okay? But the performance of the running back between the first round and the other rounds is a massive gap. Last 10 years, first round running backs get 91 starts. Second round running backs get 29. So if you're taking a second, don't even take them in the second round. You know, it's the third round has almost the same number. So you're looking running back as first round or later rounds, but you've got to get one. Because an undrafted free agency, they're one of the worst acquisitions. They never see the field. Same thing with wide receiver. Wide receiver in the last 10 years, you're only getting 76 starts per first round wide receiver. Second round, 50. Third round, 50. Wide receiver, if you don't have an immediate need, the third round wide receiver is your best value. Same thing with linebackers. First round linebacker, second round linebacker almost generate the same number of starts. So if your team is thinking linebacker, bottom of the first round, man, if you can get somebody else and target that second round linebacker, that's really where the value is in those three positions coming into tonight.
I love it. He's Dave Bartu on Twitter at CFB Matrix. He's all over the draft with all these numbers and the history, and he always helps teams find the right coaching staffs as well with their college football programs. He joins us a few times a year, and it's always great stuff. Get to him on Twitter at CFB Matrix. See some of the interesting things that he puts out throughout the year. Dave, appreciate the time and the insight as always, and enjoy crunching all those draft numbers.
Thank you, man. Appreciate the time and being on.
Hey, pleasure's all ours. Appreciate it. Dave Bartu, CFB Matrix, puts out some of the most interesting data for a numbers nerd like myself out there in the football world. And colleges, he comes on from time to time. We always hear a lot when we have him on. He's a great guest with great insight. And schools will hire him, and he'll help them hire their new coaching staffs for the football programs. So appreciate the time from Dave whenever we can get him on. In his Twitter bio, he says, your favorite radio guest. So we always enjoy having Dave on. Appreciate it. Breaking down the quarterbacks. When we come back, I'll give my five, I guess we could say bold predictions. My five predictions for tonight's draft. We'll call them bold, and we'll get to them next. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's Throwback Thursday.
What's today?
It's Thursday.
Really? Feels like Tuesday.
Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
To take what is given you so far gone on your own. You can get along if you try to be strong, but you'll never be strong. Cause you're a rich girl and you're going too far, cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch girl and it's gone too far, cause you know it don't matter anyway.
Coming up, five bold predictions for tonight's NFL draft here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Strong songs this afternoon. This is another great one.
Gotta get the vibes up for draft day.
That's true.
What are we talking about here?
It's a good point, and you're nailing it so far. That's the best song Hall & Oates ever put out. Now, originally it was You're a Rich Boy, and it was about a former boyfriend of Daryl Hall's girlfriend, I think the woman he ended up marrying. But that doesn't sound as good. You can't sing You're a Rich Boy. So we had to change the perspective to Rich Girl, and so on and so forth. And then there was also the whole thing with the Son of Sam, where he believed that that song motivated the Son of Sam on his whole streak in 1977. So anyways, that's a whole other thing.
I didn't realize that. I wouldn't have played it.
Yeah, well, geez. It's a great song. It deserves to be played. Regardless of Berkowitz. The draft begins tonight. Appreciate the time. Last segment from Dave Bartu. If you ever miss anything from our conversation, you can always find it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast, and get to him on Twitter at CFB Matrix. He's always got interesting stuff. I mean, I don't always agree with all of the things he says, but it's always backed up by data, and so it's hard to maybe disagree. But he's always got interesting takes. When he looks at the quarterbacks, we have him on every year for the draft, and he breaks down the quarterbacks because historically he has always had great success predicting the order of the draft class, who the best quarterback will be, the worst, so on and so forth. And he does put Kenny Pickett at number one. He would put Desmond Ridder at number two, ahead of Malik Willis at three. Sam Howell behind Malik Willis. And then he didn't really give us a ranking for Matt Corral, but Corral would be pretty high up for him because, as he said, Matt Corral, he believes, will win more games in the NFL than Mac Jones. He also acknowledged, right, it helps Mac Jones went to Bill Belichick and the Patriots, but he believes Matt Corral will be a more talented NFL quarterback than Mac Jones. So I don't know where we would slot him into that top four, but that's kind of the order for Dave Bartu. Kenny Pickett is his number one quarterback. Ridder ahead of Willis. Sam Howell, not as high on, and he likes Matt Corral, who's higher up on the board. Appreciate the time from Dave breaking down the quarterbacks, as he always does. Now, here is Tim Hasselbeck, was on ESPN this morning. Here's Tim's breakdown on who he believes is the best quarterback or two in this year's draft class.
Well, I think there's no doubt that Malik Willis, because of kind of his explosiveness as an athlete, his ability to throw, and how dominant a runner he is, I think that I understand how he could project to be a, you know, a long-term franchise quarterback. You know, Desmond Ridder would be another guy that sticks out to me a little bit because of his size, athleticism, and the fact that I think that he can get better. I think there's elements to, you know, what he does where you look at it and you say, I could see this guy with kind of the traits that he has to be able to kind of make that next step and be somebody you can build around. And then the last one I would say would be Sam Howell, a guy that I don't, you know, you don't see, you know, people talking about being a potential first round pick. I do think that people thought that he's interviewed well. He physically, I think, is better than people realize. He's got an extremely strong arm. He's an accurate passer. I do think he needs time to develop. But those would be three guys that stick out to me. And obviously, Kenny Pickett is not in that list. And, you know, I think the big thing for me with Pickett is I kind of think we're seeing the best of Pickett right now. I'm not sure how much better he's going to get. And so that's why, you know, I don't have him in that group.
Tim Hasselbeck breaking down the quarterbacks tonight does not include Kenny Pickett. So there's always disagreements. People believe different things. We'll see who ends up being the best quarterback from this class. That takes me to those five, we'll call them bold takes. Now, I don't know how bold some of these may be, but I also think they're at least realistic. I'm not going to come on and say, oh, five bold takes. The Jaguars take a running back first overall. That's just a waste of time. So I'll give you five predictions about the draft tonight that I do think can realistically happen. They would maybe be the underdog of a betting circumstance. I don't know. But here's five things that I think could certainly take place in the first round of the draft tonight.
This is a tasty burger.
It's the Tasty Top 5.
I'm tasty.
Number 5.
I don't know how bold this is, but I'll say a running back not only won't be taken the first round, I'll say second round as well. I'm going to guess that over the next 2 days, we'll have to wait until round 3 for the first running back. Now, Dave Bartu last segment said, right, that if you're going to take a running back, the best value or at least the most production comes from the first round. But we could also debate, well, that's because the best running backs go in the first round and there's only so many good running backs, yada, yada, yada. But I think when you look at this draft class, not only are we devaluing the running back position more and more, but I don't know if it's a great running back draft class either. So I will say the first running back certainly won't go in the first round. I know there are some reports about the Bills taking a running back with their pick in the 20s, I think that's a mistake. I don't think you need to do it in the first round. And I also don't think a running back's going to go in the second round. I think you have to wait all the way to the third round when Kenneth Walker would be my guess of the first running back off the board. Breece Hall would also be up there. Those are the two best running backs and maybe the only two noteworthy backs. If you listen to the show, you know where I am on running backs. You could get them off your couch. You don't need to spend high value in a draft on a running back, especially if there's no Adrian Peterson or I was going to say Dalvin Cook, but I'm trying to avoid just naming Vikings running backs. But you get the idea. Maybe an Ezekiel Elliott, right? If there's no premier running back, which I don't think there is this year. So my first bold prediction, let's say no running back until the third round. Number 4 on the Tasty Top 5 of bold predictions for tonight. I'm going to say the Panthers do take a quarterback at 6 overall. I have ridden the fence. I've wavered on this. I've gone back and forth. I've waffled. I'm going to say they do take a quarterback. Now, we played Scott Fitterer's comments yesterday about how he told Sam Darnold, we're going to try to add a quarterback this week. It doesn't necessarily mean the first round. Maybe they even trade back and get a quarterback. I don't know, but I do think they get a quarterback. Maybe Fitterer was lying just to throw everybody off. Very well could have been. But I think for Carolina, you desperately need a quarterback. We've had reports that they're not interested in Baker Mayfield. And when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo, I've seen reports that they are more interested in Jimmy, but they don't have a lot of interest. They really haven't dug too deep into a potential trade there. I think they just take a quarterback tonight. And I don't know if you're a Panthers fan, if that's satisfying enough, but I'm going to say bold prediction. Maybe it's not all that bold. I don't know. Panthers do take a quarterback. Takes me to number 3. I think a veteran will be traded tonight or maybe just in the draft in general. Now, if we're talking Deebo Samuel, he's going to have to be traded by the end of tonight. If you're talking about the quarterbacks, Baker or Jimmy Garoppolo, they probably won't be traded until after tonight. But I do think we got a vet, maybe Darren Waller. I don't think it's going to happen. Maybe Kadarius Toney. I don't think that's going to happen, but we're getting reports of the Giants shopping him around. It's hard to know what to believe this time of year. And maybe it's somebody we don't even see coming, that we haven't had a report about yet, that a veteran will move. I'm going to make my third bold take, bold prediction for the draft is whether tonight or at some point this weekend we get a veteran, somebody already in the league will be traded. My top two bold predictions, they go hand in hand. I'm going to say Trayvon Walker does not go in the top three. Because my number one take and prediction is that the Jaguars are going to go offensive linemen. That's going to be my prediction. Bold predictions. I'm going to say the Jaguars take an offensive lineman first overall. Because when I look at it, for the Jaguars, you have an offensive coach in Doug Peterson who just took over. And you're trying to move away from the Urban Meyer debacle and probably giving Doug Peterson maybe a little more power, whatever he wants, hoping that he could be the one, the savior, to come in and turn things around. And you just drafted a quarterback last year in Trevor Lawrence that is the most important piece of this franchise. What would both want? We know that the coach, Doug Peterson, wants an offensive lineman. Those are the reports. I'm sure Trevor Lawrence would appreciate an offensive lineman. The Jaguars do need an offensive lineman. And I think that offensive lineman paired with Lawrence and Doug Peterson could be more impactful than some sort of pass rusher on defense. I'm going to say the Jaguars do take an offensive lineman. According to reports, Peterson wants a lineman, and then the GM wants a different player, and the owner wants a different player. They're all split. I think Doug Peterson wins out, and the Jaguars take an offensive lineman first overall. And then I don't think Walker goes in the top three. Because you get the lineman first overall. I think the Lions take Hutchinson because he wants to go to the Lions based off of reports, and the Lions apparently want him. He is a Michigan guy, so too was his father. And then third, I would probably say, I think Kayvon Thibodeau goes before Walker. I'll make the prediction. Walker falls outside of the top three. My bold predictions for tonight. Maybe none will come true. But I think no running back in the first two rounds. I think the Panthers do take a quarterback. I think a veteran will be traded. And I think the Jaguars surprise a lot of people and go offensive lineman first overall, bumping Walker out of the top three. We'll see what happens. Now, I did throw the word bold in for a reason. Because I'm not saying these are guarantees or that I necessarily think all five are going to happen. But if there's a chance for some surprises tonight, those would be the five things that I could see playing out in what could be a very unpredictable first round of the draft tonight. We'll see what happens. You can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500, to give us a call. Let's go to the phones because Super Dave is with us. Dave, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, Mr. Luke, how are you?
I'm doing all right. What's up?
Hey, I think the graduate would be a great song for this draft coming up tonight in that time period. You know, back in the 70s, you got the Village People, you got Gladys Knight, the Pips, right? You remember the Village People?
Of course, I remember the Village People.
Yeah. You remember the ones that wore different outfits?
Yeah.
Like one wore a tool belt and all that deal?
Yeah, the Village People, yeah.
And the one that's saying, join the Navy or something like that.
Yeah.
Some kind of song.
Yeah.
You got the Beach Boys has always been a popular deal with that kind of deal.
With what kind of deal? Wait a minute. What are we talking about here? How do we go from the draft to Gladys Knight and the Village People and the Beach Boys?
Well, you were talking about the different songs, you know, connecting you with the draft.
Oh, no. I was talking about connecting songs to serial killers.
Oh, no. You wasn't. Come on. I know. But, yeah, I was thinking about different songs, you know, that Trent might want to look up and play, you know, with the draft music.
All right, so we got Village People. We got, what was it, in the Navy, that one?
Yeah, and then you got Gladys Knight, the Pips type music. You got Beach Boys music.
Which Beach Boys? Which Beach Boys song? Just any song? Any Beach Boys song?
Yeah, any. They're all good, you know, for the summer and everything. So.
And what Gladys Knight song? Any Gladys Knight and the Pips?
Any of them is good.
Oh, okay.
Any of them. So, you know, get you in the mood and the rhythm. Get you ready for the night, you know?
Yeah. Right. Trent was saying that to get us fired up for the draft. I got you. So you're saying play some Gladys Knight this afternoon. That'll get you fired up for the draft tonight.
Oh, sure. You know, like the Indians have to have music and then before they attack the Cowboys, you know, in the Westerns.
Yes, of course. You're a big fan of those Western films, yeah.
Sure. Then you got the Indians going to have their dance and stuff, and, you know, then they go yatae and all that deal, and they get geared up.
Yeah, right. Yep. Yeah.
Sure.
So that's what yeah. That's what you're saying. So for you to get geared up for the NFL draft on your playlist, you got the Village People, you got Gladys Knight, and you got the Beach Boys. That'll get you fired up.
Yeah, that'd be popular. That was popular during the Vietnam War.
Oh.
You know, back in the 70s.
Yes.
So, you know, that kind of music. I can't remember all of them that they played. Shoot. But I was just thinking the music that would get people fired up.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Okay, sounds good. Maybe a little Convoy, C.W. McCall. A little Convoy gets you fired up? No, not a fan of Convoy.
Not really.
Oh, okay, all right. That's
Smokey
out of here.
And the Bandit type deal.
Oh, a little Smokey and the Bandit. All right, that'll get you fired up for the draft.
Who could go wrong with Sally Field?
Yeah, you're telling me. A little Burt Reynolds and Sally Field, that'll get you fired up.
Well, I don't know about Burt Reynolds, but Sally Field would get you fired up.
Could you ever get a? Right? Could you ever grow a mustache like Burt Reynolds?
I don't know about that.
All right, then I'm sorry you may miss out on Sally Field. All right, Super Dave on the request line. So if you want to get fired up, Super Dave recommends the Beach Boys, the Village People, and Gladys Knight and the Pips. Now, Gladys Knight, I'll give you. A little Midnight Train to Georgia, that'll get me going, no doubt. The Village People, if I'm trying to get fired up, I don't know if I'm looking towards the Village People to get me in a good mood. And the Beach Boys, I have always said many times, I hate is a strong word. I am not a fan of the Beach Boys. And when I was living in Florida, I used to have to hear it, the radio station we worked with. It was a whole thing. I'd have to hear the Beach Boys all the time. They drive me nuts. I think it's a terrible style of music. They got a couple good songs I like. But overall, I don't know how the Beach Boys were so popular. I mean, come on. What are we doing here? Terrible. I mean, the same could be said for the Village People. How was that a thing? I know it was a bit of a... what's the word I'm looking for? It was certainly not to be taken on the same level as a real rock band. A bit of a novelty act, if you will. That was what I was trying to come up with. By the way, if we had the I don't know if the Village People are still around today, but if we had the Village People, that would have to be a huge band to be all-encompassing. That was the whole idea of the Village People, right? You had a little bit of everything in there. Nowadays, you're going to have a lot of different Village People dressed up in a lot of different ways to be all-encompassing. That'd be a big old band. You need to be a big stage to get the Village People out there. So anyways, if you're looking to get fired up for the draft tonight, Beach Boys, Gladys Pitt, and throw on a little YMCA, and that'll get you ready for the draft. We'll get to Trent's takes when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Not so long. Said he's going back, to a simpler place and time. Oh, yes, he is. Now be with him.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. This one goes out to Super Dave on the request line. Trying to get fired up for the draft tonight, and he appreciates a little Gladys Knight. This is a great song. I do love this song. I don't know. Trent, if you get fired, does the YMCA fire you up?
Well, depending on the setting, you know, I can really get after some YMCA, you know, if I'm out having a good time and, you know, the song comes on, absolutely. I mean, Gladys Knight and the Pips, they will always, always get me fired up.
Yeah, good group. All right, what about the Beach Boys? Do the Beach Boys get you fired up?
You know, not really. Surfing in the USA is obviously a classic,
that one's
right?
Not
we
bad.
All love that. Remastered in 2001, did it even better than it was. But no, they don't really get me jazzed as much as Gladys Knight does.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Hey, around this time every day, we find out what's on the mind of the producer, other than just about the YMCA. It's time for Trent's Takes.
What's on the mind of the Morrow Midday Show producer?
Draft Luke Morrow.
That's right.
It's time for Trent's Takes.
The Radio Cowboy will be coming, and he's coming soon, folks. Luke, earlier you were making bold predictions about the draft, and you did say bold, even though basically everything went against our mock draft that we have here on the show. But those things could happen. And another thing that could potentially happen, and it seems like over the last 24 hours, Luke, it's really heated up, and I mentioned it yesterday. When I was doing some research last night, Derek Stingley to the Houston Texans with a third overall pick seems like a lock right now. It really does. There are so many people taking Derek Stingley with a third overall pick. Luke, we were texting about it last night about how the odds changed from 250 to 175, and there's not really anybody close with those odds for the third overall pick. So it does seem like Houston is, you know, keen in on Derek Stingley with that third overall selection. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with a 13th pick. Obviously, I have them trading to Kansas City, but if they want to keep that, potentially get some offensive line help, I could also see that. Look at this, Luke. My mock draft just completely blowing up in my face before the draft even begins.
Well, we'll see. Hold on. But there is a lot of smoke with this Stingley up to three, which I think that's that. I don't know. I think that's a bit of a reach. Now, the Texans are drafting at 13th, like you said. I guess you can't wait around and hope he'll fall to you at 13. That's probably less likely. But, yeah, not only it first came on our radar with the draft odds in Vegas, and then yesterday I heard Charles Davis, and he said, you know what, I think Stingley's going to third, and I saw a couple other mocks now with Stingley, so I don't know if everyone's just following the same lead. I don't know if this is coming from the Texans to throw people off. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is from Stingley's agent. I have no idea where this is coming from, but there's something going on here. Now, maybe it's all a smokescreen. We'll find out tonight. Or maybe where there's smoke, there's fire, and people know something, that the Texans really like Stingley, and he's going to go off the board at three. I think it's a little high, but look, if he's healthy, you know, he's supposed to be an incredible defensive back in the NFL. He was, certainly, when he first got to LSU, so I'm very curious. I told you, I've been saying for weeks, the Panthers are the most interesting team at number six. Now, suddenly, this number three pick becomes very interesting.
No doubt about it, Luke. And the secondary defenders in this draft are similar to the wide receivers. There's about four wide receivers at the top. There's a drop-off. Then you got Treylon Burks, Jahan Dotson. Another drop-off. You got the kid from North Dakota State. Same thing with the corners and the safeties here. You got Ahmad Sauce Gardner, Derek Stingley, Kyle Hamilton. Massive drop-off. And then you got Kier Elam out of Florida and Andrew Booth out of Clemson, who could also go in the top 32. But it's going to be interesting to watch, Luke. I have no clue what's going to happen, but that's what makes the draft fun. Speaking of the draft, Luke, will the Packers trade Jordan Love tonight? I've heard a lot about this, and it's continuing to happen. Apparently, the Atlanta Falcons are keen in on Jordan Love to be traded to them and potentially be their starting quarterback. And rumor has it, Luke, and I don't know if I agree with this as much, apparently he would have a higher draft grade than anybody, any other quarterback in this class. I don't agree with that, especially how his last season at Utah State went. But, you know, again, there's a lot of smoke screens going on, but we've heard about Jordan Love being traded for multiple months now after the Aaron Rodgers extension, which, congratulations, get your money, he deserves it. But they won't be able to pay Jordan Love in a couple years. You know, he's already been on the team. This is third season coming up here. They're going to have to pay him at some point. So do you move on? And would the Falcons be making a good move by taking Jordan Love in a trade? I don't think so. I think you hold on to Marcus Mariota as much as possible. And then, you know, next year's quarterback class, if you're in the top five, go get a CJ Stroud, Bryce Young.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think I take my chances next year as opposed to Jordan Love. Now, I haven't seen a ton of Jordan Love, so it's hard, but all these teams evaluate these guys coming out of college, and they know more than us, so and these other teams know what they would be getting, or at least what they think they'd be getting in Jordan Love. I don't know. I just don't know who's getting excited over that. Like, how many people are lining up to try to trade for Jordan Love? And I don't get the Falcons. I saw the report. I think it came from the Falcons GM this week talking about how they would like to add a quarterback. I don't get that. You brought in Mariota. This is not a great quarterback draft class. I would not spend my number eight pick on a quarterback this year when he already went out and got Mariota. So when are you adding a quarterback? Who's it going to be? Is that going to be your long-term answer? When are they going to be available in the draft? Are you talking about grabbing somebody in the third round and hoping they develop? You tried that with Felipe Franks, I think, in the fourth round. That hasn't gone great. So anyways, for me, the Falcons, yeah, I don't see the need for a quarterback right now. I will settle for Mariota, have a bad year, and try to get my quarterback a year from now.
No, I get you, Luke. And the final odds check for the number one overall pick, Trayvon Walker, is now minus 450. 50 wow. to be the number one overall selection. Aiden Hutchinson is second at plus 500. Everybody else wow. is in the plus 1,000 range, Luke.
Ooh.
It's interesting here. And, you know, again, sports books aren't looking to lose money here, folks. I think they know what they're talking about. And just for the mock draft stake, I hope it happens with Draymond Walker going first overall, because that would be very, very nice. And Aiden Hutchinson going second, Luke.
Based off of my bold predictions, I'm going to have to take a flyer on an offensive lineman going Ooh. First overall with those odds.
No doubt. I mean, the Evan Neal, I think, to go first overall is like near plus 2,000, if Ooh. I'm not mistaken. And that yeah. definitely could happen because we have no clue what's going on in this draft. Luke, interesting here. I saw a picture of Josh Allen, quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, yesterday on the Buffalo Bills Twitter page.
Mm-hmm.
He looks massive. Now, like, he looks like a Myles Garrett defensive end right now. Obviously, he's 6'5", about 240 pounds. He's looked like he's put on about 10 to 15 pounds of muscle. He's the leader in the clubhouse to win MVP next season at plus 650. I'm feeling like, Luke, and, you know, I might be making this prediction off just one picture I saw from him and the offseason signings that they had, but Josh Allen is primed to have the best season of any NFL quarterback and win the MVP this year. You heard it here first, folks.
All right. I like it. We'll see. You know, my concern is you lose Brian Daboll, right?
Yeah.
So I know they just promoted Ken Dorsey, the quarterback coach. The idea is everything's going to stay the same. I don't know. Will it? We'll see. I'm curious to see how big of a loss that is. And Josh Allen is still really good this past year, but he did take, at least statistically, a little bit of a step back from the 2020 season where you didn't have to deal with the fans and the quarterback numbers were up all across the board. So I am curious to see, especially without Daboll, where he goes here in 2022. But I would imagine it's a pretty safe bet.
No doubt. And also, I think he's putting on some weight because of how much he was running last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're Cam Newton size running and he's got speed as well, that's a problem for any, you know, defense in the NFL right now. So it's going to be interesting to watch, Luke. Last night, the Warriors are moving on to round two. They beat the Denver Nuggets 4-1. First of all, Luke, Nikola Jokic, probably the MVP. He's going to sign that super max. Is Denver an attractive enough place with Nikola Jokic? I love Jamal Murray. I think he has a phenomenal game. Obviously, we saw that in the bubble, but he didn't play all this season due to an ACL tear. Michael Porter Jr. was one of their top picks a couple years ago. When's the last time he's played? We have no idea. So I'm wondering, Luke, is Denver with Nikola Jokic a place where potential free agents would want to go team up and play with him? Because you have Jamal Murray, if they get that other piece, potentially a three-point shooter who can just, you know, stand on the perimeter and hit shots, I don't know who that would be. But I don't see Denver being as attractive, and I don't know if guys are clamoring to play with Nikola Jokic.
I don't think Denver is an attractive place. It really never has been. And the last time prior to this that they really had a big-time star, I would say it was Carmelo, and he wanted out of there.
Right.
I wanted to go to New York. But I would say, if I was a player, I think I'd want to play with Jokic because I think he's great. I mean, he was great last night, especially in the fourth quarter. He was unstoppable. But he's such a great passer, too.
Yep.
And so that's what I like. If you go and play with, like, a Trae Young, I know he gets a lot of assists, but a lot of times just because he's over-dribbling. The ball's always in his hand. The usage rate is high. Trae's going to take a lot of shots. I don't think that's as fun. If I'm with Jokic, you appreciate a big guy who can pass the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He'll set you up pretty well. And he'll score it, of course, so you don't have to be the star, and he'll also help you out. Right? I want to play with guys who are going to make it easier on me and make me better. I think Luka Doncic is another one. He'll shoot it plenty, but he'll also set you up for baskets. So from that sense, I think I would like to be a teammate of his. I think it would help me out. It takes the pressure
right.
off of you and the attention, and he's willing to pass it off when he's double-teamed and set you up for a basket. But just, yeah, historically, Denver, I don't know if they've ever really gotten the big names.
Yeah, and they need to spend more money, I think. I mean, they're going to sign Nikola Jokic, but if they want another guy to come in there, another piece, they're going to have to spend the money. Draymond Green had a bunch of awesome things to say about Jokic, how he was honored to play against him in this series, things of that nature. He's obviously a great player. But last night, Luke, I noticed something, and I had a flashback to 2015 with this Warriors squad that was dominant for so many years in my middle school and high school days, Luke. Last night, Draymond Green, Aaron Gordon went at it a little bit. Draymond was laying on the floor and kind of grabbed Aaron Gordon's leg. There was a scuffle. And did you see who immediately backed Draymond up? It felt like 2015. Steph Curry right in Aaron Gordon's face and Klay Thompson as well right in their face. They are the leader in the clubhouse to win the finals right now at plus 320. Celtics plus 370. Suns plus 390. And Miami 600. I would obviously love for my Miami Heat to win the NBA Finals, but man, it's getting hard to bet against the Golden State Warriors when they're playing this good, they're this fiery, shades of 2015.
Yeah, they came back to win last night. Steph Curry had some big shots at the sleeping sign to the Nuggets. If you're Kevin Durant, this has the potential to be a really bad postseason for you. If you get swept and then say the Warriors go on and win a championship with this group of guys years later now, when they're all a little bit older and nobody saw this coming, that'd really make it look bad for Durant. Like, yeah, Steph Curry won before you, and then he won years later with the worst team he's probably played on paper. And for Kevin Durant, you got swept in the first round. So if I'm Durant, I'm hoping the Warriors get knocked out quickly because otherwise it's only going to lead to Curry getting more credit. And then, you know, you take away a lot of the credit from Durant saying, like, yeah, it was just because of the team you were on. Go back to the whole Barkley driving the bus or riding the bus type of deal that he's been talking about. But, yes, the Warriors right now do look like the best team in the West. Chris Middleton is expected to be out for the next round against the Celtics. So that makes that series very interesting. I think if we had a pick today, right, I think most people, and I would agree, Celtics-Warriors, I think, would be the championship. These look like the two best teams. So it'll be interesting. It's been a fun postseason, and the second round has given us more interesting matchups. So it'll be fun to follow along.
This might be one of the more exciting postseasons I've seen in quite some time because there hasn't been, you know, like LeBron or KD, who we know. All right, this team's going to go on a run. They're going to go on a run and probably meet in the finals. We have no idea.
Yeah, kind of like the draft tonight, and I think that makes things more interesting. We always root for parity, and now we're getting it in some of the sports or the drafts even that we maybe haven't had in a while. So we'll see how it plays out. Certainly it's been a fun first round in the NBA. We'll wrap up Hour 2 next. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
In a city of mirages, you never know who to trust. This is a fantasy, this is us. You were my island.
Wrapping up Hour 2 on the Morrow Midday Show. Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. NFL draft begins tonight. Coming up, we'll talk about kind of what we were just discussing last segment. If you ever miss anything from the show, such as Trent's Takes, you can find that on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. But the first round of the NBA playoffs, the NFL draft tonight, are these events in the sports world that are overrated, underrated, properly rated? Are they still a big deal? We'll get to some of that stuff coming up. Plus, G.G. Jackson did not choose the Gamecocks, unfortunately. But that's how it has gone over the years for South Carolina. Nothing new there. And it is a throwback Thursday. We got to talk with the draft in Vegas tonight. The best Vegas movies. We got plenty to do in the final hour as we get ready for the draft tonight and a whole lot more. Hour 3 coming up next. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.